Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Omega Ministries Blog Talk Radio Show, where I'm your host this evening, Servant Jason Felix, live from Detroit, Michigan. And we got a great night in store for you guys on this evening. Got a special guest on here this evening, Chaplain Robert Gregg. He's going to tell you why he's the purpose. And I'm just glad that you guys came on tonight. And before we get started, I just want to take this moment and just, it's time to get serious about what's going on in this world. It's time that we come together in intercession and pray how it needs to be prayed for peace. Because according to Matthew chapter 5, verse 9, it says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, they will be called children of God." So let us pray. Father God, Lord, make us the instrument of thy peace. Hatred, let us sow charity where there is injury, pardon where there is error, truth where there is doubt, faith, and where there is despair, hope, and where there is darkness, light, and where there is sadness, joy. Oh, my Master, grant that we may not so much seek to be consoled, but as to console. You know, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. You see, for it is in giving that we receive. And it's in imparting that we are pardoned, and it is in dying to ourselves that we are born. to eternal life. So we just want to thank you, Lord, for waking us up in this moment, you know, giving us ears to hear your guidance, eyes to see your salvation, and a mouth that will continuously give you praise, honor, and glory. So today, Father, we celebrate your magnificent splendor, for by your hand you place time in motion from the day, the first day of creation until this day, your creative wonders have filled the universe. So today we celebrate your mighty power, for by your hand you raised Christ from the grave, from Resurrection Sunday until this day, your love has given life to all mankind. So, Father, we just want to thank you for today, for we give this special day over to you so that we may rest in your presence and bathe in your goodness and celebrate your eternal life this day and always. We just want to thank you, God. But right now, I just want to let you know, Father, for we know about your glorious name. Yes, you are the glorious morning. Yes, you are refreshment and peace. Yes, you are the sounds of the dawn breaks. Yes, you are the rose that smells sweet. You are the Lord, our creator. You are the wonder of life. You are the great words of wisdom. And we read them and fill up inside. You are the wondrous sunrise. You are a restorer of hope. You are the air that we breathe now. You are the warm winter coat. You are the Lord, our creator. You are love without end. You are all grace and forgiveness, for we stand loved and free as your friend. For we thank you, God, and give you all honor, glory, and praise on tonight. Yes, 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 yes. And the church says amen. So today, my people, I just wanted to come to you as we celebrate life today, as we give our fellow brothers and sisters and their flowers. And I want to make sure that I give my man Robert Gregg his flowers on this evening. Great man of God. I can't wait till you guys meet him, because today we want to talk about promises that we can claim. You see, excuse me, the Bible, my people, is filled with countless promises from God, but not all of them are for us. I hope that you know that. Just consider for a moment. Just consider. Consider how the Lord vowed Jericho, right? In the Bible, you know that Jericho will fall after the Israelites marched around the city seven times. You find that in Joshua chapter 6, verses 2 through 6. And then or how God told Elijah that ravens would bring him food every day in 1 Kings 17, verses 1 through 6. You see, these promises, my people, were each meant for a specific person at a specific time and in a specific place. Now, even though these words don't apply directly to us, they still serve, my people, as a divine purpose in our lives. You see, God's pledges to Joshua and Elijah and many others throughout Scripture testify, my people, of his relationship with his children. You see, you got to recognize that he does not change, and the faithfulness he displayed in the Old Testament is the same faithfulness we experience from him today. See, whenever we read that God delivered on a specific purpose, we're reminded, right, that he will also deliver what he had promised us, including eternity with him for those who believe in his son's death and resurrection, John 3:16 and 1 Thessalonians 4:14. So what I want you to think about today is simple. Have you ever wondered whether one of God's promises was directed toward you? And what can you confidently claim he has committed to you? I want you to think about that on this evening as we read into the scripture. Now, in 1 Kings chapter 17 through verses 1 through 6, this was Elijah predicting a drought. It says in verse 1 through 7, it says, "Now Elijah the Tishbite of Tishbe in Gilead said to Ahab, 'As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives before whom I stand, there shall be neither dew nor rain these years, except by my word.' The word of the Lord came to him, saying, 'Go from here and turn eastward and hide yourself by the Wadi Sharif, which is east of the Jordan. You shall drink from the Wadi, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there.' So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. He went and lived by the Wadi Sharif, which is east of the Jordan. You see, the ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening. And he drank from the Wadi. But after a while, the Wadi dried up because there was no rain in the land." Now, my people, we got to walk through this scripture. We got to walk through this scripture because it's about you and it's about me. What I want you to recognize is real simple. In chapter 17 of 1 Kings, you see God had to have his man present at the time when Ahab and Jezebel sat on the throne of Israel. Y'all know about the story of Ahab and Jezebel. We'll get there. You see, it would have to be someone, right, who would have the courage to stand up against them. You see, God had that man ready, I want you to know. And his name was Elijah the prophet. You see, he was one of the greatest men who ever walked across the pages of Scripture. Also, he is probably the man who will return to the earth to witness in the last days. It is predicted that he will return. Now, this is, you know, Elijah announcing the drought. See, it went a little something like this. Elijah is introduced to us in the most dramatic way. He strides into the court of Ahab and Jezebel and makes a very brave announcement. I want to read that scripture to you once again. It says, and Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these days, but according to my word. That's talking boldly. Woo-wee, been an imitator. See, Elijah walked having Jezebel and gave them the latest weather report. He said that it was not going to rain except by his word, and he was leaving town. He had no intention of saying the word. You see, then he walked out of the court just as dramatically as he walked in. Now, I think Jezebel were taken back because they never dreamed anyone could speak out so boldly. Later that Elijah had a habit of speaking out. You see, think about it. You get the permission that Elijah, and you will get the impression that Elijah was a rugged individual, right? He was. I want you to know that. But there's something else that should be said here about him. God had to train this man. God has always had a method of training the men he uses by taking them to the desert. Yeah. You know, to that woodshed. You'll recall that trained Moses. See, God took Abraham out of Ur, the Chaldees, and placed him in the land with rugged terrain. God did the same for John the Baptist and the Apostle Paul, spent at least 2 full years out in the Arabian desert. See, this is God's method of training his men. Now he is going to take out this man, Elijah, and teach him several things he needs to learn. Now, right here, God feeds Elijah at Sharith at Zarephath. Because in verses 2 and 3 it says, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself. See, God was telling Elijah to get as far out in the country as he could, so he went up into the desert and came to a stream. Then in verse 4 it says, and it shall be the ravens feed thee there. See, God used two methods, my people. I want you to watch. Came for Elijah was the brook, which was a natural means. He was to drink the water. Was the ravens were to begin. That's the scripture, right? Because in verse 7 he says, and it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been rain. Now what I want you to witness is this. Here is this man out in the wilderness, and he goes to the brook every morning and notices that it is going down a little bit more each day. All he had to do was to put a peg in the water to note how much it went down each day, right? Then he could have figured out how many more days it would be before he starved to death and died of thirst. Now, having a mathematical measurement, anyone with common sense would know that on a certain day, the end would come, right? This is the sin of statistics. Today, the condition of a church is often determined by statistics. If you go to a church meeting and observe that the offering has been good, new members have been received, and there is increased attendance, the church is considered a howling success. And that may not be the true picture at all. Now, that's somebody's lane, somebody's avenue, somebody's pew right now. Don't mean to touch no feelings. I'm just giving you the truth. See, I once heard a story of a preacher, right, who got up at a church business. He says, we're going to call on the treasurer to give a report so that we can know the status quo of our church. Watch this. One of the members got up and they said, "Mr. Preacher, we don't know what the status quo means." The preacher replied, "The status quo means the mess we are in." Interestingly enough, the true status quo of many churches and other organizations often reveals the mess that they are in, although the statistics may look healthy. Come on, church making money, but ain't nobody getting saved. Everybody feeling good, but ain't nobody getting fed. Now, here in the Bible, in the Old Testament, Elijah could have figured very closely the time when he was going to die. He could have done it mathematically, but you see, the cold figures of mathematics do not take into account the spiritual fire that is there. You see, you cannot put the condition of the church in the form of a bank statement, is what I'm saying. You cannot measure it on a computer. Even a revival is not determined by numbers. When Elijah looked at that little brook, which was getting smaller and smaller, he learned a spiritual lesson, my people. He saw that his life was a dried up brook. He saw nothing. He was just a brook, a channel through which living water could flow. Yeah, the Lord Jesus says, "Whoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give them shall be in him a well of water springing up into what? Eternal life." I just gave you John 4:13-14. You see, sometimes we sing the song, "Make me a blessing," and I think that half of the people don't know the meaning of the words. Why? Well, I'm so glad you asked, my people. It means that you are an empty brook and that you do not have any water of life. It is only as the water of life, the word of God, as it flows through you that you can be a channel of blessings. See, Elijah had to learn that God had chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God had chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. 1 Corinthians 1:27. See, God was telling Elijah, "You are not a big, strong, rugged individual. You are no stronger or better than that dried up brook. You will have no strength until the water of life flows through you." I want you to recognize that, my people. You got to remember that when you come out, you are nothing. See, it is only what God can and will do through you that will be worth anything. See, one young missionary replied one time, "It is hard for me to believe that I'm just nothing." And a man said to him, "Take it by faith, because it is true that you are nothing. We are just dried up brooks unless the word of God is flowing through us." That's what I wanted you to know on this afternoon, on this evening, on tonight, people that's calling from all over. You got to recognize who you are and whose you are. And that's so important. The moment that you do, this life just happens to just flow into your body, and you just want to give and give and do all the purposes of God. So what we're going to do right here is we're going to take a pause for the cause, and when we come back, I'm going to introduce my guest on the night, Chaplain Robert Gregg, and I hope y'all ready. So go and get you a drink, and let me give you something to think about, some smooth tunes already here. Hallelujah, you're already here. Oh,
chose to be. We worship, we praise until there's no difference, and we recognize you're already here. Hallelujah, you're already here. Hallelujah, you're already here. Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're here. The balm for my wounded soul. Praise until there's no debate, and we recognize your role. Hallelujah, you're already here. Oh God, hallelujah, you're already here. Right here, yes, you, Lord.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, you're already here. Yes, God, you say, where two or three are gathered in your name, there you will be in the midst. Welcome back to the Omega Ministries Blog Talk Radio Show. We are here tonight talking about the things and the mysteries of God. And I want to introduce a brother of mine that is like no other. Oh, Mr. Robert Craig, ladies and gentlemen. He is a native of Washington, D.C., but was raised in the suburbs of Fort Washington, Maryland. He attended all public schools in Prince George's County, Maryland, where Robert attended Garrett. You see, County Community College after graduating high school, where he played basketball. Robert then attended Allen University in Columbia, South Carolina, where at Allen, Rob continued to play basketball, and he graduated with a degree in business administration. Robert is a proud member of Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity Incorporated. He is also a member of the Christian fraternity Alpha Omega Alpha Incorporated. For a brief stint, Rob was the owner of a mobile cleaning business. Now, Robert, my people, was raised along with his two sisters by loving father Robert L. Gregg. It was the nurturing of his father that Rob developed the love for people. And Robert says it was while watching his father mentor and coach people, he developed a strong sense of family with Christian values. Rob, you see, accepted Christ at an early age while attending his family church, Turner Memorial AME. He rededicated his faith at the age of 26. Rob joined the men's choir as well as being a mentor to the youth at Ebenezer AME Church in Fort Washington, Maryland. Rob expected the call to the gospel at the Life Church, Life House Church in Bowie, Maryland, under the leadership of Reverend David J. and Elder Nicole Porter in 2018, where he was licensed as a minister. Now, to develop his personal training, he became certified in the following areas of life coaching, relationships, and NLP. You see, Robert is currently enrolled at Walden University to obtain a master's in human services with a concentration in mental health. See, Rob is currently training to become a licensed chaplain with the International Police Fire Chaplain Association based out of Taylor, Michigan. Finally, Robert's proudest accomplishments to date. Ah, one of the wonderful things is being a father of two sons, Josiah and Asa Gregg. You see, Robert is also a self-published author of the book Fragmented, Not Broken, The Road to Holiness. Oh, I can't wait till you guys meet my brother on tonight. And as I let him in, I want you guys to recognize that this man is truly a man of God. So I want to welcome you to the show there, Chaplain Rob. Hey, put your hands together. Hey, what's up, Rob? How you doing on this evening?
Doing pretty good, sir. Pretty good. Can you hear me okay?
Okay, man. Everything's okay, man. I'm so glad that you can share your time with us this evening, man. I know you got that busy schedule and the lives that you lead, especially with them two young boys and all their activities. But, man, I want to give you the table and the floor right now, man. I just want you to answer just one quick question. You know, the promises that we can claim is what we're talking about tonight. So just tell us how and when that you feel that you had a thirst to become a fisherman.
Man, you know what? I'm gonna have to blame it on my grandmother. You know, them praying grandmothers. You know, she was what you call one of them jack-o-lantern preachers back in the day. You know, in the South, they didn't let women in the pulpit. But I believe it was my mother, my grandmother's inspired prayers, and it just spread over the whole family. But to answer the question and say, when did I know? Probably in my late 20s, early 30s is when I knew that there was a call on my life. You know, it just trying to mature that and cultivate that to the present point where I'm at today. You know, and did that through, as you read my bio, through different ministries, you know, just being a servant first, you know, first and foremost, because that's what it's all about, servanthood. So I would have to say by that age, that's when I knew there was something more. And coupled with that, you know, as you read a little while ago, watching my father indirectly, how he impacted people's lives. So I would say that mantle was passed on to me, or I inherited that mantle just being submerged in the environment, watching my father mentor younger black men and transforming their lives. And I guess that's when I caught the bug and, you know, it's been a people person ever since.
Amen to that. Amen to that. So when you first got into ministry and it was all about, didn't even probably even knew you were doing ministry by being a helpful entity to others, what gravitated you to the scriptures that you wanted to learn his word and teach it and preach it?
Man, it was not of my own. That was all God, because, you know, like, I'm pretty
all
sure.
Day, yes.
I mean, yeah, everybody's previous testimony was up to me. I still be in the club. You know what I'm saying? It's up to me, but, I mean, I mean, you got to be transparent, you know. But, man, just, you know, like they say, I didn't call, you know, God called me. You know what I mean? I was minding my business, and, you know, I guess it was just divine order, like anybody else, you know, similar story. Just actually, you know, in my mid-20s, trying to figure out life. It wasn't going where you wanted to go. You figure something in your life has got to be better than this. And my buddy, my childhood best friend, he said one Sunday, he was like, man, you better come to church and get your blessing. And I was like, all right. And that's, you know, that's why I was 26. We went to Church Ebenezer AME, and they did that altar call, you know, by the unction of the Spirit. I went down there and never looked back, you know. So it really wasn't anything of my own, on my own volition, but just the Spirit of the Lord. And, you know,
amen.
His timing is always the right timing. So that's all I can attribute to.
That sounds like a plan to me. For the word, what the word say, for he knows the plans that he have for you, plans to give you a future and a future with hope. And Jeremiah 1:5, he knew you before you were in the womb. Yes, yes.
Yes,
I appreciate that, Rob. So in this world that we're living in, where we're getting into ministry and then you're now getting into chaplaincy, what curved you to want to even think about doing chaplaincy? Because you know that's totally different. For those that don't know, ministers, pastors, bishops, they govern the church. Chaplains are the God's representative for government and the world. So out in the world, we come against all type of warfare. That's why we cling to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18, by wearing the whole armor of God and staying yoked up. So tell me, how did you even think about chaplaincy?
Man, Jace, I'm going to be honest with you again, man. I'm going to have to, you know, I got to put the put it all on God because,
amen.
You know, I was minding my business on Facebook one day, and somebody sent me a video, and it was like about, I'd say about 6 in the morning, between like 5:30 and 6, and it was just odd, and it was, the video that went viral with Chaplain Nora when she was praying over the AP. That and so, and I'm sitting here like, who is this and why they sent it to me? You know? And so I messaged her and she said, I think you would like this. So next thing I know, she says, I'm gonna pass your name on to Chaplain Carlos, and he's gonna call you. So I had about a 5 or 10, 15 minute brief conversation with him, and next thing you know, I'm in the classes, you know, watching it on Zoom, watching Chief Tackett, you know, our chief and commander and leader. And next thing you know, here I am today, you know, just one thing led to another, you know, and I guess it's what they call a journey. So, and I knew that one of the prerequisites for anybody in ministry, there has to be a genuine love for God's children, saved and unsaved. That's like a thirst or a hunger. Like, you put me in a room with a bunch of strangers, by the time I leave, I'm going to have everybody name a phone number. Like the saying goes, I never met a stranger. I think I'm saying that right. But I say, you
yes,
know,
sir.
And yeah, and just, you know, just, man, again, it's just God's spirit and his love that, you know, for those in ministry, I mean, not even beyond ministry, but just it permeates in your heart where you just want to see everybody win, you know, in a natural and supernatural. So, you know, that's how I ended up there. And then I meet dynamic leaders such as yourself and the rest of the chaplain family. You know, I mean, I just feel like every time we're in class, it's like I'm in church all over again because, you know, you can't never get enough is what I say, Jake. You know what I'm saying? So,
yes, sir.
Yeah,
that's a beautiful thing, man. So this is how I would love to put it. If you had 5 minutes to tell an unsaved individual that they were loved by God, how would you go about doing it? How would you fish them in?
an unsaved person, and you said,
and
I had
they
five
want to
years.
Repent, they ready to come to God, but they don't know what to do. And in your mind,
well,
I want you to think of a scripture, and I want you to think of what you would say to them.
Well, first of all, I would tell them that God already, no matter what you're going through or what you did in the past, that God was with you the whole time. You may not believe it, but he was there with you the whole time. And, you know, I would ask them, you know, they mind us praying. And then I would lead them to Romans, confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. And I would tell them, you know, it's not a time to get all deep and spooky. It's not a time to get all religious. You know, it's just time to meet them, whatever that, because the word says that, you know, you have to be all things to all people so you might win some. So I would, that's what I would do, very simply stated and very simply put, and I would just tell them, I said, hey, look, if you're ready to take this journey, you know, take my hand, brother, sister, and let's, you know, go on a word of prayer. It doesn't have to be long or deep. And just, hey, man, you in the family now, you know, like with the blood in, blood out, blood in, blood out.
Yes,
you
sir.
Familiar now, you know what I'm saying? What I would tell them, I said, if you think it all strange that once we leave together, if you see things start to happen or you feel like, quote unquote, all hell is breaking loose, that's when you know there is a God. And do not be alarmed when people start acting out of character. And remember this benchmark from the time you accepted Christ in your life. Find you a church that you're comfortable with over time and get in that church and just sit there and be fed. And I would just tell them, stay the course, and, you know, God will carry you through.
Amen to that. That's the formula for success, my people, for those that are looking for salvation. You find it in no other than Jesus Christ our Lord. See, my people, what I want you to recognize is very simple. It's all about servitude. It's about being all you can be for your neighbor. He said he gave us two great commandments. Loving with all your heart, mind, soul, spirit, of course, and to love your neighbor as yourself. You can't always have it your way. You always have to go out of the way in order to be like Christ. You have to be in uncomfortable conditions in order to persevere. Everything is never going to be smooth. It's always going to be a bumpy road when there's a lesson to be taught. And see, right here, Robert, in his walk, he has been through it all in the world, and all of a sudden the Spirit hit him and said, hey, come on home. I'm ready to put you to work. And he was obedient. For those that don't know, I need you to recognize that obedience is better than sacrifice. So as long as you're obedient, you will get the blessings. That's why when the praises go up, the blessings come down. So I just want my people to recognize one thing. Before we go, I'm going to go on a commercial break. But when I come back, if you got any questions for Rob or any comments, I want you to press 1 after this song, because I want y'all to recognize that God is truly a genius.
You got to believe it. You know that love, it changes like seasons.
sure to recognize that God is a genius. Welcome back to Omega Ministries Blog Talk Radio Show with your host, servants Jason Felix and Robert Gregg on this evening. Hey, anybody out there in the world, I see we got about, we got a nice number tonight, 1,252. Okay, anybody out there on the line tonight, press the number 1 if you'd like to come on and ask Robert any questions or any comments that come to mind. Join the conversation. Oh, yeah. Everybody just listening on tonight. I can dig it. There's nothing wrong with that. Hey, Rob, anything you want to talk to the people about? Tell us what you got going on.
Well, man, I have a ministry online. I have a I'm a certified relationship coach. And the Spirit of the Lord led me to write a book entitled Fragmented, Not Broken, The Roads of Wholeness. And that book was birthed out of the Holy Spirit because, to be transparent with you, Jason, I am a victim of divorce. And what God was showing me was that there is not a vetting process for, I mean, people say the unsaved. We normally go through the thing of boy see girl, girl see boy, boy like girl. It goes from life to love to marriage. And we skip the whole host of steps in between. So what God led me to write this book, to give a blueprint. Now, I'm not saying what I'm writing is the official manual, but this is what God laid on my heart, to give a man or woman an outline and a guide when they're seeking companionship, a way to vet that person, the way to make sure that they don't end up a casualty divorce. You know, I have two channels. I have a secular channel, which is on Brother Black One, and I have my ministry channel, which I just started up, which is Minister Black One. And if you go to Linktree, which is spelled linktr.ee/ Minister Black One, and Black is spelled BLAQ with the number 1. And you can go to that link, and it will send you to all of my social media platforms. And I want God's children, saved and unsaved, to learn off of my learning curve. Because as they say, marriage is easy to get into, but hard to get out of. And, I just believe that God has given me the mountain of family where that is, and I guess that attached to my father, that's what really spurred me to do this, because of my love for the Black family. And sometimes I feel like we're in a crisis, because with this social media out here, Jason, it's just like, it just seems like there's a line drawn in the sand, and it's like the men against the women. And I'm just like, that just breaks my heart, because, we're supposed to be one family, So I'm just trying to, be the servant, servant leader to help heal our people. And I believe through this book, which if you click on the link, order book, you can get that book. It's not a hard read. It's only 50 pages. And I believe that, it will bless you and give you a different perspective as it pertains to mate selection.
Yeah.
In that regard, sir.
No, well, most definitely got to snatch it up for a few people that I know out there wanting to make sure they know about this relationship thing,
Mm-hmm.
We just ran a few of them away, like, hold on, what are you talking about, relationships? Hold on. But you got to understand, God.
Yeah,
God brought us together to be fruitful and multiply, my people. So that's what I'm talking about this evening. I'm so glad that you came on tonight, Rob. and let us know what you had going on and what was happening in your life. It was very important that you did that today. I appreciate you. Before we even break down, I'm going to do a little Before we even break down, I want my people to know two things. We are all citizens of two worlds. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, it says, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. My people, check this out. Believers in Jesus live in two worlds with two citizenships. Yes, you do. I'm talking about you. See, we have, as Paul said, citizenship in heaven, but now we have our citizenships in this world. However, having citizenship in heaven doesn't preclude us from having responsibilities in this world. How can we live out our heavenly citizenship here, you might ask? Well, I'm so glad you asked, my people. Check it out. Four things I want you to do. I want you to pray for your leaders with what's going on in this world. See, I urge them, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceably and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. That's 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 2. Then, my people, I know you don't like to hear this word, but it's very important. I need you to learn to submit to government authority. It says in the word, I believe it's in Romans 13:1, it says, let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. Then, this is very important, for those that are in the world and those that are in Christ, I want you to render to Caesar. You remember that story in Matthew 22:21? He said, give back to Caesar what is Caesar's and to God what is God's. And last, I want you, my people, to do according to 1 Peter 2:17 and as live an honorable life. It says, show proper respect to everyone, love the family of believers, fear God, honor the emperor. See, we also, my people, have the challenge of living like Jesus in our countries of citizenship. This involves the things that represent his heart, which is the care for the poor, help for the weak, and justice for the oppressed. Now, all of this, my people, however, exists with a significant qualifier. When threatened by the leaders of the religious government of Israel, Peter wisely responded in Acts 5:29, must obey God rather than human beings. Our first allegiance, my people, is always the who? Jesus Christ, our Lord. So if you will, Greg, send us home in prayer.
Father God, we thank you, Lord God, for ordaining this time before time began, Father. We thank you for Brother Jason's leadership, Lord God, his servanthood, Lord God, and his zest and zeal for life to see people win, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. We thank you for the 1,000 or so listeners who are listening tonight, Lord God, and I pray that their needs unsolicited, that you would meet every need of the sound of my voice, Lord God. We ask you to bless their families near and far, Father, and give us sweet rest tonight, Lord God, and remind your people that you have them there in your bosom, Lord God. And we ask you to guide us and bless us, Lord. Keep us when we don't want to be kept. Love us when we don't want to be loved. In the name of Jesus, we come praying and asking you, already thanking you for the victory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, 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 amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I'd like to thank you on this evening, Brother Robert, for coming and sharing this little time with me, man, so the world can get to know who you are and whose you are. And for those that
thank
need
you,
to know, reach out to me. Yes, reach out to me so we can get you that information so you can get to his platform. Say that platform one more time for the world.
It's if you go to Linktree, which is spelled linktr.ee/minister, and black one, and black is spelled BLAQ and the number one. And that will take you to all my platforms.
Let's represent. Let's support. Let's get that book in y'all's shelves and everything else that he has to offer. Let's get it popping. You see, we work this thing as a community. We build each other up. We all win. And that's what it's all about, man. And I want y'all to recognize, before y'all go, I want y'all to know that Jesus is Lord and that worrying is a sin, and you should never do that. So why don't you tell them about it, A.H.?
Ain't nobody worrying when the shots fly high and the sirens start to ring. Ain't nobody worrying when the kids die young and the mothers are suffering. Ain't nobody praying when they kneel down low, all they're doing is tying the shoestring. Ain't nobody worrying no more, no more, no more, no more. The homeless have nowhere to turn when their stomachs start to burn, cause they ain't got food to eat. How the children gonna learn when they gotta take turns, cause they ain't got books to read. Then our babies turn to crime, started getting high, cause the job train's kinda slow.